You know,
Blog
this is right now.
Radio.
This
year.
And don't forget, too, that Donald Trump is going to help you with the extension. And I think it's high time that you guys stop attacking him and look what happened to Perry. He was pretty much out of the game. Itself, you know. So, in any event, they're looking into charges against, or people at least are talking about the possibility of charges against Hillary Clinton. They say they're investigating her behavior, not her. That's probably the craziest distinction that I've ever heard. I mean, what does that mean? That's like a cop pulling a guy over and saying, I'm not giving you a ticket, I'm giving your car a ticket. It doesn't make any sense. So, we'll have to see what kind of crazy response that they can come up with in that, out of that campaign. But, you know, you've got to admit that it's just to keep up with these guys. Just the number of scandals and how they kind of play them out is just kind of breathtaking with Clinton. In the meantime, if it wasn't for the scandal in which she used her own server in her own house and said, this is my government server, she would be heads and tails over everybody else, I think. But right now she's under, not only not doing as well as Sanders in some of these races, but she's underwater, meaning that her numbers are so bad that there's really nothing she, you know, to rehabilitate herself at this point. I don't know what you would do. You know, I mean, it's the problem is when everybody knows you, and you have a image problem, that's a terrible place to be in. Some of the other stories today, if you're a Patriots fan, Tom Brady is playing a preseason game where they're claiming, the New York Times is claiming that he's starting. Tom Brady unexpectedly starts. So case that they brought to the court, the judge has thrown a certain amount of scorn on the NFL. He wants to know where the proof is that Tom Brady inflated these balls. I think that the NFL could be the ones that end up getting this, getting a black eye, because it just seems to me like they went out on a limb. They went way too far on this thing. And from the evidence, except, you know, based on the evidence that they had. And, you know, so I think that he could end up getting his suspension cut in half. What if they got rid of the suspension? How does that make the NFL look? They do this little trial or this whatever investigation, and they end up basically giving this guy a 4-game suspension, which is quite a few games when you consider that a guy knocked his fiance out and he only got 1 game. Then he turns around and takes it to court. And what does the court say? The court says, according to our standards, you don't have any evidence. I mean, how does that make Roger Goodell look as a lawyer who's running the league? All right. So, I've got another clip from the Trump girls, these two young black ladies, and one of them just says, yeah, uh-huh, you're right. But the other one is the one that's kind of making all the statements. But check these out. And I wonder how many minorities are supporting Trump right now, but check this out.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
So I'm here just talking to my African-American brothers
yes.
and sisters.
Yes.
Now, listen, I see your frustration.
Yeah.
And I can feel your pain.
Yeah.
But we can no longer take and parade the narrative Black Lives Matter
That's right.
in front of people when we don't feel like our own lives matter. When we take and we burn down our neighborhood.
Yes.
When we take and we kill our brothers and sisters.
Yes.
When we rob from them.
Yes.
When we do destructive things, what we're telling people
yes.
is we don't care about our own lives,
yep.
and sometimes that's why people can't care about us.
That's right.
Now, what I want you all to do is to take that energy
yes.
and channel it behind someone
yes.
that I know that care about our lives,
yes.
and that's Mr. Donald Trump.
That's right.
Look, he is working to bring jobs back to this country.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, you have jobs. Keeping their jobs over here, companies keeping their jobs over here
yes.
for people like us
yes.
so that you can become employed.
Yes.
And not only would you just be surviving in this country,
yep.
but you should also be thriving
That's
in this country.
Right.
So I'm appealing to you
yes.
to get behind the candidate, Mr. Donald Trump, that's going to do something for you,
yes.
that's going to give you a hand up
yes.
instead of a handout, baby.
That's right.
Now, my brothers in the street,
yes.
I understand your frustration,
yes.
but it's time for you to get back to work, baby.
That's right.
It's time for you to have some hope.
Yeah.
It's time for you, and you got to push the candidate that's going to do that.
Yes.
And see, I know we've been fed a narrative,
yeah.
and
yeah.
we've been spoon-fed something,
yes.
but today we're going to pick up our own forks and
yes.
eat for ourselves.
Yes.
And see, we be your sister.
We, be your
we represent you.
Yes.
We stand for you.
Yeah.
We stand up for you.
Yeah.
But we can't do that if you sitting down, burn down your community.
Listen,
that's embarrassing.
Embarrassing.
Stand up, you all. Let's be men and women.
Yes.
Let's be united again.
United.
Let's be American again.
America.
I'm looking at you, you all.
Yes.
Okay? And I don't want to be looking at you with a side
That's
eye.
Right.
Okay? Now, I love you all.
Love
let's
you.
Get it together and let's get behind a candidate that's going to make America great again. And that's
yes.
Mr. Donald Trump.
Right.
Stop for the Trump, baby.
Stop for the Trump.
Stop for the Trump. Y'all have a good day.
Bye-bye.
All right. So that's kind of an amazing phenomenon when these people come out of nowhere, you know, in so these ladies, I'm sure for the rest of their lives will have the story to tell, but all right. Other stories today that you might want to talk about. I think this El Nino is a big thing. I'm going to be talking to Bob about it, but here's a news flash right here, though. Hillary drone talk in top secret emails. Dem ticking time bomb. O'Malley Sanders to debate without Hillary. Here's the problem that they've got right now. The issue is that the Democrats are trying to. This is to me, this is a very crazy attempt by them, by the way. But they're trying to. They're trying to crown Hillary without her having to go through this debate. Maybe they're thinking that no matter what, they're going to get a bounce or a positive effect out of Trump and that she'll be able to sweep her way in. It seems like they want her to go in without being scrutinized at all. I think it's a very dangerous strategy, a risky strategy for the Dems, and I think it's going to backfire. As a matter of fact, it already has backfired on them. Kelly O'Connell, 616. We'll take a little break here and come back and talk about this massive El Nino, the El Nino of all El Ninos. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523 1450 805. 6180-805-6180 to text in. We'll be right back. All right, so I mentioned the El Nino. This thing with Hillary, I cannot predict how this is going to turn out because it's so much bigger than anything I've ever seen at this point in somebody's campaign. there's just so many different scandals or so many moving parts in this thing. It just seems like that I have to guess, I'm going to guess that Hillary's going to have to drop out at some point. That's my guess. 523-1450 if you disagree, or if you agree, 805-6180. And I just, I don't know. I mean, what were the Democrats thinking? Now, you might say, well, what were they thinking when they, nominated Barack Obama, but he came through, you know? They've got more traction. They've gotten more results from Barack Obama for their agenda than any president in history. Well, maybe since FDR, LBJ, whatever. All right, but anyway, here is your El Nino. Now, it's being called the Godzilla of El Ninos, the Bruce Lee El Nino. That's according to the Daily Mail, but I got a little bit from the Weather Channel for you right here. Super El Nino comes. Is it going to save California or wash them into the ocean?
NOAA released its latest El Nino report on Thursday, saying a strong El Nino will likely peak late fall going into early winter. Now, remember, this comes on the heels of NOAA actually lowering their official hurricane outlook for the rest of the 2015 season. We get the extra warm water out across the Pacific. Then, of course, we get the rising air. And as a result, we see a lot of various things happening. Obviously, you know how active it's been in the Pacific, and you know how unactive it's been in the Atlantic, leading to these very unfavorable upper-level winds. Now, El Nino is obviously not the sole driver of the atmosphere at any time, but we will continue to keep you posted on how the rest of the season plays out.
All right, so the El Nino of El Ninos could come in and help California quite a bit. And, I mean, certainly we hope so, because California in a drought.
Nice.
California's
got three
the
great
basket
deals
of the world,
to choose
right?
from. This.
So, according to the Daily Mail, UK, Godzilla El Nino is heading towards California this winter. Forecasts suggest mega weather event could be biggest since records began and bring with it some epic rain. 90% probability of strong El Nino this year. Looking to smash records, according to NOAA Climate Center, but still will not be enough to wipe away 4 years of drought. How do you know that? Because I ask you that because when we're talking about El Nino or we're talking about weather records, in 1 month, the storm systems wiped out a severe drought, an extreme drought in Texas. And now I talked to somebody who lives over in Dallas, and they told me the banks of the or the water levels in their lakes are 30 feet above where they were. You know, so here's from the Weather Channel another bit on ranking this El Nino against others.
A banner year in terms of the activity in the tropics across the Pacific Ocean, and that's largely due to El Nino. So we're going to start there and talk a little bit about how this particular El Nino compares to history, at least the El Ninos that we've seen in the historical record. 1997 was the strongest El Nino that we've had on record. An El Nino is just the warming of the equatorial Pacific waters. You can see the tongue of those waters extending from the coast of South America here across the eastern and the central Pacific. Now, when you look at 2015, you can see those warm waters extending here, but there are some differences between what's happening this year and what happened back in 1997. The way we measure El Nino is we look at the departure of the sea surface temperatures, the ocean temperatures, and if they're above normal, about a half a degree above normal, as you average it out across the Pacific, that is an El Nino, and there is that half degree line. So we have been in an El Nino since May, actually since 4 May, but as we moved into June, notice how it went into the moderate threshold. And as we get into August, now inching up into what we call a strong El Nino. Our record El Ninos were 1982-83, which is about 2.5 degrees, and then the 97 El Nino, which is up here. So we're a little below those values, but still have a lot of hurricane season left to go. So we could get to a record El Nino, and that is having impacts in terms of the activity across the Atlantic, yes, but also the Pacific Ocean. You look at these warmer than average waters, not just in the equatorial Pacific, but even here across the central Pacific Ocean near Hawaii, And we've already had a few tropical systems impacting Hawaii this year, at least coming close.
All right. So in our neck of the woods, the southwest, across the basically across the lower border section of the United States, you've got a cooler and a wetter year. In up north or summer. Up north, you've got a hotter summer. So that's how it's kind of shaping up. Now, they are saying that this blob that I told you about before, the blob in the Pacific that was about 1,000 miles long and 300 feet deep, is not going to hamper the El Nino. And so there's just no doubt this is a big, fat El Nino. All right. Now, let me ask you this. What happens if Hillary drops out? It seems to me like every day that the drumbeat gets a little bit louder. The drumbeat of the scandals and the investigations. And okay, so Hillary was asked a long time ago to hand over her emails. She did not do so. And then she said she deleted half the emails on her private server that she used for her job, her government position. And then they say that she finally gave her server over a number of emails, and they found some. She said that there was never any private information sent. And now it turns out that there was extremely high level information, private information sent there. So then now we have to ask ourselves, if she gets knocked out of the game, what's next? So what is next is obviously somebody else comes into the game, but who is it? I mean, who would take over? So I'd asked this yesterday, is the Democratic Party ready for a socialist, an officially socialist candidate? Now, you can argue, and I think quite easily, that in these last few years that the Democratic Party has gone very far to the left from where it had been in the old days. And so it just seems to me, I'm just going off my gut, but the way it's like storm clouds are building over Hillary's campaign and have been doing so for months. And they say there's absolute panic inside of her campaign. So the question is, where does the party go? How do you not have any debates and leave Hillary in as the front runner? It seems to me it's almost on a suicide mission for this round. And maybe, is it possible that the Democrats have given up on winning the presidency this cycle, that there's been too much fallout from Obama? And we're in record times of the GOP running state houses and state congresses. So bearing that in mind, now here I've got a little bit from Charles Krauthammer on the situation.
What this revolution is about is not just electing Bernie Sanders as president. What this political revolution is about is transforming the United States of America.
Senator Bernie Sanders, self-described socialist, in front of 27,000 people out west this past couple of days. This has some new poll numbers come out of New Hampshire. A Boston Herald poll, Franklin Pierce poll, has Hillary Clinton trailing Bernie Sanders by 7 points. The Hillary Clinton campaign says this is completely unrealistic and a complete outlier, but you can see where it was in March in this very same poll. Also, a Monmouth poll out has the favorability for Hillary Clinton now at 38%. So we're back with the panel. How does all this factor into the Democratic race? Charles, before we start on that, I should point out that yesterday's panel, you said it's only a matter of time before the DOJ takes control of the server. It turned out it was 3 hours.
Yeah, well, I didn't expect I had that kind of power, but I'm glad. I mean, the pressure was so intense on Hillary that it really had to happen. Only a question of when. I think she decided there was no use in hanging on. She was going to have to eventually release it. But as we said, she is now hostage.
Does this affect what we're seeing now? I mean, is this directly related to her numbers?
Yes, I think there are two things that explain her numbers. One is obviously the cumulative effect of the email stories, the foundation stories, and the question of a trust. It's obvious, it's a cliche, but it's a fact. And it gets worse, and now we know it's not going to stop. This is going to be months long. It could take us all the way up to the middle of next year or longer. And the second is, people are talking about all the divisions in the Republican Party between establishment and the grassroots. We have a similar division in the Democratic Party, and the Sanders phenomenon is the embodiment of it. He represents the left, the self-proclaimed socialist. She is perceived as the moderate, the center-right, center-left moderate, and she did left on just about every issue as a way to stem the tide. It is not succeeding. And in part, it's a matter of trust, because I don't think that the Democratic left base believes a word she says when she changes her positions and heads leftward.
All right, so there you've got a little bit of analysis on this very, very, I would say the ground is shifting quite a bit under the Democratic ticket, the would-be ticket. So 6:33, we'll come back and talk a little bit more about Hillary. There's only so much you can take, but we're going to have Bob Endlich coming in to talk about weather at 7 o'clock. And we want to thank the Samuel Cain Law Firm for sponsoring the show. 526-5263. In pain, call Cain. He's focusing on personal injury. And if you've got something that you think might be that type of a thing, he'll give you a free conversation about it and let you know what your options are. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. 523-1450 to call in, 523-1450, 805-6180. We will be right back. Temperature outside right now is 72 degrees. We're looking at a high of 102 and a low of 73. It's going to be sunny today. They say no chance of rain. Let's hope they're wrong. All right. So here is, who cares about Hillary, huh? Can only talk about her so much. Here is a little bit from Mika Brzezinski on what would, this, and this is from Morning Joe, what would Donald Trump say if he was in Hillary's shoes over the email server?
They surrounded her and did not let her interact. She decided not to interact for a long period of time and interacts only very carefully. With something like this, you got to get right in there. Come on, give it to me. I am sorry. It was a mistake. This happened. We did it this way. We regret it.
Well, she's going to go in front of the committee in the fall, and that's going to be...
That's going to look terrible.
Well,
so
could,
I mean, if you're managing a campaign, you haven't done a very good job helping put this behind Hillary Clinton. You just haven't.
Well, listen,
now the FBI's involved.
There's a very obvious answer to why they used a private email server. To keep their emails private.
Private.
And everyone knows that. It's obvious. So just say that. Acknowledge. Instead of it's for convenience.
What would
not
Donald
so convenient
Trump
now,
say?
By the way.
No, it's not.
All right, Chuck Todd, thank you. I'm frustrated by this because she could be an incredibly strong candidate.
I think you're speaking for a lot of people who feel the same way. Yeah.
Oh, could make history. Still ahead on Morning Joe.
What kind of history? I mean, she couldn't beat unknown African-American candidate last time. How strong is Hillary Clinton? All right. Now, here's on the Trump. The Trump is not going away, so the GOP needs to make peace with him. What would his administration look like? What would his policies be? I suspect they might, some of them might be quite liberal, but people are excited that there's one person out there who's not afraid to lead, who's not afraid to stand up to the critics, and is not going around constantly making excuses. And do you like leadership of people who, when your positions are questioned, they apologize? The biggest disaster in history. Here's a little bit on the collective insanity.
Joining us now with reaction, author of the New York Times bestseller, Adios America, The Left's Plan to Turn the Country into a Third World Hellhole. Ann Coulter's with us. Also here, National Review writer Charles Cook. Guys, good to see you. And, by the way, funny line by Trump today about Joe Biden. He said, I think it'd be a great matchup, him against Biden. I have a great record. I'm a job producer. I haven't been involved in plagiarism. I think I'd match up well against Biden.
The one yesterday was even better.
Which one?
I've had it up to here with Rand Paul.
Ouch. Well, look.
He's a funny insulter.
Yeah.
But he's more than that. I mean, he's clearly right about the Mexican wall thing. And this is part of what is appealing about him. Not only is he the only one seriously talking about immigration and the only one, I think, who is believably saying he'll build the wall while the rest of them are coming up with nonsense excuses. Oh, there can be tunnels under walls and I'll secure the border, but we'll use high technology. Okay, these are just different ways of lying to us. You're not going to build the wall. But look, we send Mexico $14 billion in foreign aid every year. Of course they'll pay for the wall.
All right, Charles, let me go to you. You know, I might say it a little differently than Donald, because the bottom line is Mexico has no problem at all with people crossing our border. They're doing nothing to help us, nothing to assist us. So in many ways, it takes away some of their problems, poor people, other issues that they may have. Some of their population coming here has been good for them. We give them aid money. And I think Donald Trump's right. You withhold the aid money. And guess what? You put in a tariff. They're going to get more concerned about it. Makes sense to me.
I have to say, I'm just astonished by the collective insanity that seems to have marked the conservative movement over the last month.
What's astonishing about it? I've been saying secure the borders for years and years and years.
No, I don't mean secure the border. I mean that Donald Trump, who has put forward no plan whatsoever except to pretend that Mexico is going to pay for a war, is being taken seriously.
Excuse me, that's not true. Wait a minute. What you're saying is not true. He said he would build a wall. He said that he would build it expeditiously. He said that he would help get Mexico to pay for it. He would either force them through not giving them aid or through tariffs. That's a specific plan. He talked about health care savings accounts for Obamacare as an alternative.
I think the objections are that you have a man in a Republican debate who praised single payer. You have a man still talking about funding Planned Parenthood. You have a man who has flip-flopped perhaps on the wealth tax, on gun control, a man who in any other circumstances would have been laughed out of the primary. If you look back to when Mitt Romney was running, flip-flops that were not remotely as substantive as Donald Trump's.
For one thing, I mean, maybe I'm the wrong person to be appalled by this, because there was one thing Mitt Romney flip-flopped on, one thing, abortion, and I don't think that's a big deal. We're supposed to be trying to win converts over. It isn't really true, the things you listed off just now there.
All right, so just kind of some general stuff. I had played for you the clip yesterday, the ridiculous fight on The View between Rosie Perez and Kelly, whatever her name is, the girl, Kelly Osbourne, in which Kelly Osbourne says that she's if you kick the if Donald Trump kicks all the illegals out of America, who's going to clean the toilets in L.A.? And Rosie Perez went nuclear and told her to told when Rosie Perez was forced to apologize to this young girl later, she then quit and said, kiss my A and F this show and quit. So what do you think about that? We've got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's Patty Riley.
Good morning, Patty. What's up?
Oh, not much. I don't appreciate the comment Miguel Silva said about me yesterday, having a bee in my bonnet.
That wasn't him. It was I was reading a text. I don't know who said it. I don't know who said it, but you were a little bit upset.
Okay, well, yeah, I put the facts out there, facts that they can't be denied. Okay, I don't lie. Politicians lie. I don't care if it's Miguel Silva or if it's Susanna, who is a big fat liar. You know, I could put a bunch of stuff about her out there today. I could about Susanna. I almost did the other day, and y'all stopped me. In fact, I think I might go put stuff about Susanna out there. Let's just end this now. You know what? Two political parties suck. We need one. Period.
It's not good radio. Patty, listen. Listen, folks. Work with me here. If you call in and go on a rant and don't allow any back and forth, then we can't find out what you're talking about a lot of times. But it's also bad radio. Somebody calls in and just starts, you know, going off and cannot be interrupted. I want to know if somebody calls up and claims that someone is a liar, I want to know what they're talking about. I don't want a comment to just be sitting out there. So, people don't know what the claim is, and, you know, get it out there. If you claim someone is lying, let's hear what the lie is. But, Patty, please don't do that. Really appreciate it. In any event, so this lady, Rosie Perez, quits Kiss My A and F the show, and because the producers of the show forced her to apologize to Kelly Osbourne. So you see how ridiculous. All of these people are liberals. They're fighting amongst one another to see which one has got the most pure political correctness. It's just nonsensical. I found another clip where it said it was on the show and they were talking about the same thing. Even if somebody, they were saying on this radio show back east, a couple of black hosts, that even if you make a mistake when you're speaking, it's okay to take that and use it against the person because you're not allowed to make a mistake. Like this girl, obviously, in retrospect, didn't mean to suggest that every toilet is cleaned by a Hispanic person. But anyway, all right. So there's still a lot of concerns about the economy. Food banks struggling to meet surprising demand. This is across the United States, and this is from Associated Press. And they say that when these food banks are opening at 6:30 in the morning, lines are forming immediately. And here is a little quote for you. We get lines of people every day starting at 6:30 in the morning, said Sheila Moore, who oversees food distribution at the Storehouse, the largest pantry in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and one where food distribution has climbed 15% in just the last year. And so anyway, the economy is not as strong as it's being said. There's never been a strong response out of the economy. There are various reasons that people are saying this is true, but one of the biggest reasons, in my opinion, is the focus on this particular administration on things other than the economy, and there's massive new amounts of regulations that have been put in to slow down businesses, to make it harder to open a business, and put a burden on various areas of the economy. And there's going to be a lot more before this president leaves, because he's more concerned, in my opinion, from my observation, but I think that you would have to give me a reason why this is not true, a Frankie or somebody like that. He thinks that there's things out there that are more important than the economy. And let me ask you, what's more important than having a job for anybody, for any community? Jobs. Anyway, we at 6:52, we will be right back. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. This is Kelly O'Connell. 523-1450 and 805-6180 to text 805-6180. I'll read your text when I come back. Hey, it's Kelly. It's Kelly. It's Kelly. Who's this? It's 6:55 on the 14th of August. I've got some of your texts here. Some Democrats are laughing at Republicans because they know Trump is a Democrat liberal. Only a rhino would vote for him. They're talking about adding John Kerry to Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and even Al Gore replacing Hillary. Well, they're going to have to do something. Miguel should stay on the council. We need a mayor who knows where the biggest building projects going on in our city for the last 8 months is located. Oy vey. I don't even know what that means. Okay, so I think that, let's see if I can read this. I think people talk fast and foot stop because you have been known to put them off in the conversation before they can make their point. All right, look, I'm interested in people's points. I'm not interested in somebody calling up and ranting and raving in which you cannot interact with the person. And Patty, we've had very many pleasant conversations on the show, but to call up and just go on a rant, and what you, for example, say that the governor is a big fat liar, where? How did she lie? People want to know. I mean, you know, if here's something that people say, they call up, they can't hear me. Well, you know, I'm going to try to interact with you. So if you can't hear anything, I don't understand why one person can hear everything and another person says they can't hear anything. But the way to listen to the show is not through the radio. It's through the phone because there's a delay. But if you call up, prepare to – it's like any other conversation. You wouldn't go up to somebody that you know and talk to them in such a way that they could never respond, although I do know a lot of people that do that. But, I mean, realistically speaking, it's unpleasant. But the main thing is that people want to know what your point is, and they want some back and forth so that they can find out details. And just to call up and you know, say all the politicians are a liar, I tell the truth, the governor's a big fat liar, people want to know what you're talking about. Anyway, all right, so just a comment on some of the stuff here. What do you think about, and we just have a few seconds left here, but Clinton hands in the server, and it's been professionally wiped clean, meaning all of the information has been taken off of it in such a way that you can't get anything off of it. That's not exactly what they were looking for when they asked for the server. They wanted to know what the emails. Doesn't this suggest that Hillary is admitting that she sent a lot of stuff she shouldn't have and doesn't want to get in trouble? But the main thing is it's all a self-created disaster. So I say she's not going to be in it for the long run. Who's going to be the candidate then? 523-1450 to call in. We're going to take a break on the hour. We're going to come back. I think Bob Endlich is coming in to talk about the weather. maybe we'll hear about the El Nino. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. 523-1450. 805-6180. We'll be right back. It's 7:06. It is the 14th of August, and all right. So, and I just got another email, a text, Kelly here. Patty is right. Governor Martinez is a fat liar. She works for El Paso and uses New Mexico resources. Vote homegrown people. I mean, look, if you're going to make a claim, and by the way, just one more time. Good radio is not somebody calling up, ranting and raving, not allowing any interruption, and then slamming the phone down, which, Patty, you do that, and it's, you know, it just makes a terrible effect. So anyway, folks, if you call up, be prepared to have a little interaction and not just do a soliloquy. I've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show.
Hey, Kelly. It's Mike.
Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing? Hey, Kelly.
Yes.
I was wondering, when Clinton turned in her server and the FBI, were they the ones that demanded the server?
FBI is doing an investigation. I don't know. The problem is there's been more than one group that's asked for the emails. I believe it started off with the Benghazi group. The House was looking into her for Benghazi. But this is going back years. And she's never cooperated. Now that the Justice Department has become involved, then she realizes that she's not under threat of something from the House. She's under the threat of prosecution and arrest. And Bob Enlick here has something to say.
Yeah, one of the reasons that that server has been subpoenaed is because Hillary and her State Department colleagues have not turned over a bunch of Freedom of Information Act communications that were asked for by an outfit called Judicial Watch. There's a fellow named Tom Fitton who's head of Judicial Watch, and sometimes he's on Fox News, and it is that outfit that was asking for those communications.
Well, it is actually the people that are running the investigation for the Benghazi group, that how her the issues of email started out was from Benghazi. That whole thing is kind of what spun it out. And if you look at how poor of a planner she is, she's getting into the meat and potatoes part of the campaigning, and she has this stuff is just starting off with the emails.
Kelly, when they demand that she turns in her server, do they specifically state that they want all the information contained within the server or just the server?
Of course. I mean, it's like you win a car from a car dealership and go down to pick it up and there's no engine in it. It's presumed.
Well, then
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. How can she wipe her server and get away with it?
Well, that's the question. Will she get away with it?
That's an obstruction of justice, or at least it would appear so to me.
Well, it's obviously obstruction of justice. The question is, and the question has been for a long time, she is a huge person in American politics. Is anybody going to stand up to her about it?
Well, with the Justice Department, the person that's in charge, then wouldn't that be her her responsibility?
Can you be more specific?
Loretta Lynch, I think he's talking about.
Yeah,
right.
But I mean, this is all underneath the aegis of the Obama administration. So the Obama is the one who's going to call it. Thanks for the call, Mike. I've got a little clip here for you about this. Kurt Gowdy is Trey Gowdy. Kurt Gowdy's a football player. Trey Gowdy, who used to be a prosecutor and has been asking for years for the emails, says it's about damn time. I got a clip of this right here.
Now let's take a look now at a new Monmouth University poll on the email issue. 38% say Hillary Clinton has something to hide. But look at the breakdown by party affiliation. You have 68% of Republicans and 41% of independents, but only 8% of Democrats who think there is something to hide. That is a considerable difference. The emails are connected to the investigation into Benghazi. Earlier, I spoke with Congressman Trey Gowdy. He's the chairman of the House Select Committee on Benghazi. Chairman Gowdy, I want to get your reaction to the decision by the former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to turn over her private email server to the Justice Department. What do you think about this?
About damn time was my initial reaction. We asked her in March to turn that server over to a neutral, detached, independent arbiter like the Inspector General. I can't help but smile at the notion that somebody is voluntarily turning something over to the FBI. They generally don't ask. They generally tell you to do so, and I doubt very seriously that they ask her to turn her server over. If they have jurisdiction, they don't need to ask. They just go get it.
Hillary Clinton this week certified under penalty of perjury that she has turned over all of the emails related to her time at the State Department. Do you take her at that word?
Well, I read that statement, and it's easier to read Egyptian hieroglyphics than it is to parse the words that her lawyer wrote in that statement. Whenever you see the phrase on information and belief, that should be a blinking red light for you to be suspicious of it.
What do you mean? But when it says that on information and belief, she believes this to be true, this is true. So explain to me, with a legal perspective here, your concerns about that.
I'll be happy to. Did she go through the emails? Of the 60,000 emails, did she go through each one of them and separate them personal versus public record? No. Her attorney did it. Her attorney, who has a fiduciary and ethical obligation to her, not to the taxpayer, not to the public, but to her. So how in the world can she aver that the public record is complete when she herself did not go through and look at each one of those emails? We found 15 that she did not turn over to the State Department. So we know for a fact that that statement is not correct. Remember the 15, the 9 in whole and the 6 in part that Sidney Blumenthal gave to us that the State Department never had? Where were those? How did her lawyer miss those 15? So, no, I don't believe this statement. But the statement wasn't to me. It was to a federal judge, and I'll let him or her handle that.
We've seen certainly some of the requests go from Benghazi. There seems to be a concern now about Libya really in general. Beginning with the invasion by the U.S. and its allies. Is the committee expanding its purpose to include Clinton's email practices or just as they pertain to these other issues that you're interested in?
Just as it pertains to making sure that the public record is complete with respect to Libya and Benghazi. I have no jurisdiction over Bolivia or Paraguay or what used to be Somalia. I'm not interested in bridesmaids' dresses or yoga routines. None of that. It's, first of all, not my business. Second of all, it's not my jurisdiction. But I am entitled to every document that relates to Libya and Benghazi and what our policy was in Libya and whether anti-Western sentiment contributed to the attack or whether it was a spontaneous reaction to a video, as we were told at one point. I'm entitled to all of those records. And how in the world we can be assured that the public record is complete, given this email arrangement that she had with herself, as curious as it was, that's going to be the challenge.
I ask you that because a lot of Democrats who support Hillary Clinton look at the committee and they say there's been mission creep on the goal of your committee. What do you say to that?
Well, anyway, that's to answer the question about the emails. That is the basic situation. If Hillary Clinton had been forthcoming, if she had been forthcoming with her response to Benghazi, then this would have blown over a long time ago, or she would have been removed from office or whatever, but be out of the running. But it wouldn't be in the middle of the road as it is right now. We have another call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
It's Pedro.
Pedro, what's up?
Okay, look. I don't think anyone has made the distinction whether this was a personal email server or a private email server.
It is now, that has been made. It is it was a private email server that she bought and set up on her own. She got her own server. She got her own website. She had her own email system. It was private, and then she used it for her public business. What do you mean nobody okay. nobody's made a differentiation?
Okay, think about what you're saying, or think about what she is saying. She's the Secretary of State. What are the chances that she went down or she picked up the phone and called Comcast or went down to Best Buy and purchased an email server and had some private guy go and install it in her home? Okay, I can tell you, in her governmental position, what likely happened is she went down and said, hey, I need a server in my house, and had a government employee go out and purchase server through government purchasing channels. A government technician went down to her house, installed it using a government pipeline, which is the connectivity part of it. The government likely paid for that connection.
Hey, hold on a second. You're saying this as a fact, or you're speculating?
I'm just trying to extrapolate.
All right, so you don't,
sense here.
Pedro, you don't know hold on a second. You don't know what the fact is, but you're saying that you know this is how it happened, and that's not how it happened. They got a company out of Colorado to do it, and this is all private. They did not get the government. The problem is they didn't get the government to do this, and that's how the whole problem, that's why it's an issue.
Do you know that for a fact, that they contacted a private company out of Colorado?
Yeah, they have a company out of Colorado that they contracted. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, and the domain name was clintonemail.com. So it clearly was not a .gov. And that is the reason that Hillary did that was that she could have control over everything.
But that,
you know, an allied question here would be, why did no one in the president's White House see a ClintonEmail.com and an email
they
from
did.
Hillary.
They did. People knew about this. It was well known that she had a private email server, but nobody could or wanted to do anything about it. But I mean, the idea that she got a bunch of government people to go in and build a private email server for her to use with the government is totally false. And that's the problem here. It's unheard of. The reason there's no law against it is nobody ever thought of it before.
Well, I don't buy it. And I would like to know if government funds were used to pay for, if that is true, which I don't buy, I would like to know if government funds or any government resources were paid in acquiring this system, paying for its setup, or its connection to the web.
Well, if it was, so what? I mean, her comment would be to your statement is, of course, if we did use government funding, we're using it for a government purpose. I don't think you're going to catch her on that.
Right.
One.
No, you got it right there. If government, you say so what? I'll tell you so what. If government funding was used in acquiring, using, or maintaining the system, then it becomes clearly government property.
Okay. That may be true, and that's a good point. But she's wiped the emails off their server already, and I don't think there's anywhere to go except to the court and see what the sanctions are.
No. When it comes to computers, a computer forensic specialist, you cannot wipe a hard drive. The data is always there.
All right, then I guess we'll find out what's there. But thanks for the call. Folks, we'll take a little break here, and I got Bob Endlich. We're going to come back and talk about weather and lying government officials and that type of thing. Kelly O'Connell, 720, and we do have one more phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Kara. Good morning.
Good morning, Kara. What's up?
It drives me crazy that intelligent people in Las Cruces can think of the problem, analyze the problem, fabricate a scenario, but they fail to come up with solutions. They act like their opinion is that of the almighty, and really, you're smart enough to find the problem. Start working on solutions, people,
what?
Instead of analyzing and fabricating problems.
Kara, what you, could you be more specific? Nobody knows what you're talking about.
Well, okay, like Patty starts ranting and raving about the governor. I don't even know why. And then people talk about Barack Obama and his decision. It's like these. We know everything. All about atomic energy and radioactivity, and we all failed science and math, but everybody's got a really strong opinion on uranium. And it drives me nuts because I am educated, and you can't talk to anybody without them coming up saying, well, you're only going to die if you use nuclear energy. Well, we might die if we don't, but really it just drives me nuts that people will analyze the problem so much without coming up with possible solutions.
What advice
just
would
stop at the problem.
Kara, what advice would you give to Patty on her on-air
Comete, Comete. She's got like a big old target on herself that she put there that everybody's aiming at that we're not. I don't know how to say that any better. Maybe paranoid, maybe, I don't know. But I'd like to see her become a survivor instead of a victim and a solution instead of a problem.
All right, Kara, thanks a lot. Have a good day. All right, folks, got to take a break here. We'll be back with Bob Endlich, and who knows what he's going to come up with. But 7:21, oh, there's that last phone call I've been waiting for. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Kelly, briefly, I know who did it. It's the White House chef that just died in New Mexico.
Thank you. There's another conspiracy that was cooked up by Mike. We'll be right back. I've got Bob Endlich here at 7:25. All right, Bob. So what's going on?
Well, I attended the county commission meeting last Tuesday.
All right.
And, there's a citizen input part, and you can have your 3 minutes. So I had my 3 minutes. And basically what I said was that this Commissioner Hancock had made some statements in writing and during the previous meeting that were just absolutely incorrect. And so I had my 3 minutes, and then when my 3 minutes were up, he cut me off. I don't think he even said thank you. But anyhow.
Who cut you off?
He did, because he's the deputy.
When somebody says who and you said he?
Yeah.
Who?
Wayne Hancock. Because
Wayne Hancock.
He was the acting chairperson, because Billy Garrett, who is the nominal chairperson, was absent that day. So it was just four people rather than the normal five.
And was he feeling his oats, as they say?
Well, he let me have my say, and I was glad to do that. One of the things he had said in the previous meeting was that the population, the reason that the budget had to go up so much was the population of Doña Ana County had doubled since 2007. And so I went to the U.S. Census webpage and brought up Doña Ana County. And I know numbers don't do too well on the radio, but the 2007 population is 198,000, and 2014 was 213,000.
Yeah, I actually read that at the time when we had been on talking about this. I do have a clip from it, as a matter of fact. And here we go. Here is Wayne Hancock talking about, and by the way, just if you're curious, this is a good idea. Wayne Hancock moved here and 2 months later started running for county commissioner and was voted in. So if you want to try something that fantastic, move to another city, run for office and start running that city just right after you get there. But in any event, you can't blame him if he doesn't know anything about the size of the county since 2007. But anyway, here's Wayne Hancock.
Mr. Chair, I find it interesting that we want to go back into history and count percentages of increase of cost of providing services to the public. But we leave out how much the county has grown since 2007. We've doubled in population. Have we doubled?
No.
Okay.
People are laughing.
What has it gone up to? It's gone up significantly higher than the percentage of the increase of the budget.
No.
This is not a poll.
It's not a poll, meaning that if these guys say something and it's wrong, you can't correct them.
This is a statement.
This is a statement from this commissioner.
These folks will not, you can leave, but please do not comment unless you're invited to comment.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got the true facts, don't open your mouth while Wayne Hancock sits up there and blabbers something that is so far off the truth that it's absurd. Bob?
Exactly. And so I said that the population gain was 15,000, and the plain arithmetic showed that the population gain was a mere 7.8%.
Well, let me ask you this.
Which means that Commissioner Hancock was off by more than a factor of 10.
Let me ask you this. If that's the basis of his decisions in public policy, what's your reaction?
Well, my reaction is that it brings to me into question his ability to read, comprehend, and evaluate subjects at hand. You know, to be an adult in the room.
How about his article on science in which carbon dioxide was proven to be one of the most noxious poisons out there?
Exactly. You know, that was in the Sun News about a week and a half ago. And he said, climate change, one of the biggest challenges of our time, is our own self-doing. We can no longer wait to undo it. And he talks about carbon pollution and causing climate change. Well, the trouble is that that none of the catastrophic events that they've talked about have occurred. I'll give you several examples. One of them is that the temperature in the greenhouse, which is where the greenhouse, where these greenhouse gases are said to cause this catastrophic warming, has not changed in 18 years and 7 months. And there was an article in the British Medical Journal called The Lancet that said that there are 17 times more people die than from the heat. And this result is replicated in Australia, Korea, Canada, Germany, Italy, the United States. I mean, it's worldwide. And so people are not dying from the heat. They're dying from the cold, and these alternative energies, these green energy schemes, run the price of utilities up. So the ability of people to keep their families warm in the winter decreases with that increasing cost, and people are freezing to death, literally.
And there's a new study out of the United Kingdom, in addition, that predicts the Earth is about to go through a major climactic shift, meaning decades of cooler temperatures, that they claim is related to sun cycles. Maybe we can come back and talk about that a little bit. We're here with Bob Endlich and Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180 to text, 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back at 732. Hey, it's Kelly.
Hey, hey, Kelly. This is Jesse.
It's who?
So I got a question.
It's who?
No, on Hancock's report, or should I say the posting that came out on the Sun News, right?
Who is this?
Well,
I can't hear you.
This is Hey, this is Jesse.
Jesse, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear your name. Yeah, go ahead. So, okay, Wayne Hancock does a report.
Yeah, he does a report. The Sun News publishes it. If the report is all wrong, there's nothing technical behind it. Isn't it up to the Sun News to go in there and kind of verify?
Yeah. Can you wait to say this on the air? Because I think it's very important.
Sure. And I'll just say that real quick and get off, okay?
No, you don't have to get off. We can talk about it a little bit, but I'll just put you on hold for like 2 minutes, okay?
Okay.
All right.
On KOBE, there's no better place to be.
We have Jesse, who's called into the show to make a comment about the Wayne Hancock situation. Jesse, you had pointed out that if Wayne Hancock made a mistake, there should be some consequence.
Well, I guess what I look at is that if Wayne Hancock, if he publishes a document or an article in the newspaper, then it should be up to the newspaper to verify whether the stuff that he's saying is true or not. So if he's saying that carbon poisoning is killing us, then it should be the newspaper's obligation to go in there and check it out. Is that true or not, or is he just, you know, just talking for the sake of talking?
Let me comment on that a little bit, Jesse. Thanks for bringing that up. It's even worse than that, because I try to refute many of the wild, threats is the right word, wild accusations that we are poisoning the climate, poisoning the earth. And I try to point out, folks, if you look at the data, the climate today is boringly normal. You know, there's been no increase in hurricanes. We're at a 45-year low in hurricanes. There's been no increase in severe weather. We're at almost a drought in severe weather this past spring, especially. And in terms of the rainfall, people said, well, and published it in the Sun News, that back in 2012, that greenhouse gases are causing this great drought. And I wrote a column to refute it. And the Sun News, and I sent it in a couple times, refused to publish it. And this goes on and on and on. It's very rare that I get a chance to have one of my letters or columns published by Walt and Sylvia down at the Sun News. And so it's not that not only they don't fact check it, they don't allow me, and I consider myself a reasonably competent scientist. I mean, I forecast weather for the Air Force and out at the High Energy Laser Test Facility for over 10 years, 21 years in the Air Force. So I've got experience in this, and plus, it's been some of the stuff that I have spent my professional life doing, and they don't allow it.
Jesse, what do you think?
Yeah. Well, I kind of think that what it comes down to is that if the Sun News or whatever article is, whatever organization is publishing something, there should be some fact-checking. Obviously, it depends on what publication it is. Obviously, if you're just trying to sell things, you may just put something out there to get people, you know, mad or try to go on your side. But eventually, you know, the public or other people should come back and say, you know what, that's not right. What you're publishing is not correct. Now, how do we hold a organization to a standard of publishing the truth?
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Well, thanks for the call, Jesse. Good point. All right, folks. Bob, so you sent in this letter to or this article to essay to straighten out the factually challenged essay that Wayne Hancock put out. And
no, that's not true. I didn't do it for this time.
Okay.
But this is back in 2012 when we had three PhDs said that our use of fossil fuels is causing the drought. And I tried to say, no, it's La Nina. And La Nina is the weather pattern that causes dry from Arizona to Florida. And it's a very repeatable sort of thing. And, you know, the fires in 2011 in Bastrop, Texas, remember that?
Yeah.
People tried to say, oh, that's caused by our use of fossil fuels. No, it's one of those regular La Nina caused droughts. And now this year we're back in El Nino. And so we've had copious rains, especially in Texas.
All right, so we're going to come back. I'm going to ask Bob for his input on the massive Godzilla / Bruce Lee El Nino that is supposed to be coming in, and we'll be chatting about that and a few other things. 741 on AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell. 523-1450 to call in. 805-6180 to text. 805-6180. We'll be right back. Hey, who's this?
Hey, Sharon Kelly. There's a, that inversion. The air is terrible.
Sharon, hold on.
Yes. Okay.
Folks, got Bob Endlich in the studio, and Sharon's called in. Good morning, Sharon. What's on your mind?
Hi, good morning. Well, you're talking about weather. I'm on my way to El Paso. That inversion, the air is horrible. If you have bad breathing problems and you don't need to be down here, don't come because it's burning my throat.
Ooh.
That's all I was calling. I was going to try to catch you during the break, so I didn't interrupt your conversation, so I'll say goodbye.
Thanks a lot. Folks, you're not interrupting if you call up to add something. It is an interruption if you call up and rant and rave and won't allow any response whatsoever and act as if you're an oracle for some religion or something. But anyway, here is another call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Kelly, briefly, it's Mike again.
Now, round three, go ahead.
I wanted to ask Bob a quick question.
Go ahead, Bob. Mike?
The White House has released a list of books that President Obama is expected to read during his two-week vacation. And one of them is called The Sixth Extinction. And it says, when we use fossil fuels, we are reversing geological history by taking organisms that were buried millions of years ago and pumping their carbon back into the atmosphere at a very fast rate. And she asserts that humans are the asteroid of chaos, like the ones that wiped out the dinosaurs. And I know Bob's worst nightmare is Al Gore for president.
Thank you very much. All right. Did you hear the dogs reacting when he said extinction?
I certainly did.
Immediately.
I'd like to comment on that a little bit. This is frequently brought up. We're causing an addition of carbon dioxide to the air. Well, most of Earth's history has had a lot more carbon dioxide than now. Right now, we have 400 parts per million carbon dioxide. At something like 180 parts per million carbon dioxide, the trees start to die because there's not enough carbon dioxide for them. Back in the time when in the Mesozoic, when dinosaurs were running around, we had 1,000 to 2,000 parts per million carbon dioxide. And
see, it killed the dinosaurs, and now it's coming after us.
No, that's not true. And this is just grade school biology. We ingest carbon dioxide at 400 parts per million, exhale it at 4,000 parts per million, or around 40,000 parts per million, or 4%. So carbon dioxide is not a cause of extinction. Now, there is an outfit, and I forget what the exactly what the name of it, but they're on the web at redlist.org. And Redlist lists the threatened and endangered species. And the fact is, we have not caused any extinctions recently.
In your humble opinion, what about the mastodons? I got him on that one, folks.
The mastodons.
He's backpedaling.
The mastodons were here in the last ice age, and they were probably killed by the people who were hunting them. They were caused by hunting, not by use of carbon dioxide.
No, but I mean, there's more than one way to make something extinct. All right, here, one more time. The public policy at 747 flying the friendly skies up here. Kelly O'Connell Show. Here's the public policy. Public policy, in other words, decisions on how to spend money in this county are made by people like this.
Mr. Chair, I find it interesting that we want to go back into history and count percentages of increase of cost of providing services to the public. But we leave out how much the county has grown since 2007. We've doubled in population. Have we doubled?
No.
Okay. What has it gone up to? It's gone up significantly higher than the percentage of the increase of the budget.
No.
This is not a poll.
This is a statement.
This is a statement from this commissioner.
These folks will not, you can leave, but please do not comment unless you're invited to comment.
You can leave. In other words, you can get kicked out of a meeting because you're trying to correct someone who makes a
absurdly mistaken point. But anyway, that's public policy in Dona Ana County are made based on that. How can these guys, and Wayne Hancock got up and said the reason that we have to tax and spend the way that we do is because the population doubled. Now we found out the population has increased since 2007 by, what, 6%, 7%, 8%? But it doesn't matter. Nobody has nobody's allowed to, contradict these people. If you are, even if you're right and they're wrong, you get kicked out of the room. Kelly O'Connell, 749 on AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in, 805-61802 text. It's 74 degrees out, high of 102, low of 73, sunny. It's going to be another scorcher. And Bob Endlich is here, the weatherologist, the meteorologist. And Bob, we've been talking about this the whole show. What is a Godzilla El Nino?
Well, let's talk about El Nino. El Nino is a phenomenon that was first noticed maybe 100 years ago in Chile. And they noticed that in the Atacama Desert, normally it doesn't rain. And when it did rain, it rained in a time around Christmas. So they called it El Nino. They also noticed that the water was abnormally warm. Normally, like if you go out to California, the water is cold because of the natural circulation patterns, upwell cold water from beneath. But all of a sudden, it was replaced by warm water. Well, now we know that there is a regular, but not very regular, pattern where warm water from near Indonesia comes all the way across the Pacific to the Americas. When that happens, we get abnormally warm water next to the coast, and it, in our part of the country, more rainfall. The one that they typically refer to is the 97-98 El Nino, and old timers here might remember that shortly after Christmas 97, it snowed and the Oregon Mountains were full of snow well until March. So, and that hasn't happened since then.
Well, let me ask you, you've been in the game for a while. Have you noticed this year, does it seem like we have more rain than usual?
We have more rain than average this year, especially in the El Paso, Albuquerque, New Mexico areas. And to the east of us, it's very, very large amounts of water.
A crazy amount in Texas, but is this El Nino related or something else?
It is El Nino related. It has enhanced the monsoon. Normally when there's El Nino in California, that's when they have the extensive rains and houses washing into the canyons and off the slopes into the Pacific Ocean. They have the newsreel cameras there and watching that happen, and that's sometimes called the Pineapple Express. But now they're in drought. Now this El Nino, sometimes it's a one-year event, sometimes it's a two-year event, sometimes it's a three-year event. A year ago, people were saying that we were going to have a very large El Nino, but it misfired. Time lapse of the ocean temperatures, and you can see these pulses of water coming from Indonesia, and it looks like it's reinforced. So if that happens and it changes the water temperature patterns enough, then California will come out of the drought and into a heavy rain event. And that's the reason the Climate Prediction Center is going with a greater than 90% chance for an El Nino that will bring water, a lot of water to California this summer.
Is El Nino caused by global warming?
No.
How do you know?
We know this by, we now have satellite measurements of the ocean temperature. We also have drifting buoys and we have anchored buoys in the oceans. And we can tell how this El Nino pattern evolved. And by looking at that pattern, we can see when the
when the temperatures of the oceans increase. And we can map those movements of those currents. And actually what's happened is people were fooled. In 1976, we went into a period of many strong El Niños.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming on today, Bob. I really want to thank you. It's been an interesting show, and I'm glad you're speaking truth to power at the county commission meetings.
I'm trying.
Folks, we got some text here. Mr. Endlich for mayor or county manager. He's the only sane eye in the hurricane of preposterous climate claims. I like that. Question, do you ever read your texts? Answer, no. Why do you ask? Same person, Bob is brilliant. Oh, now here's some mean stuff. Hello, Kelly, Mike Labor here. And then another text, Kara is nuts. The stated position of the Iranians is to blow Israel off the map. That may be from another show. She is as crooked as the day is long. This is not Kara. The only reason for establishing a private server in her ex-persona of Secretary of State would be to hide something that's true, of course. And ever since I heard Bob Endlich debunk all these ludicrous climate global warming claims with his streaming data references, I wake up a happy person. The green whatever. He might have been strangled while he was texting that and couldn't finish it. But I want to thank the Sam Kane Law Firm for sponsoring the show. 526-5263. In pain, call Kane. He'll give you a free consultation. But anyway, Bob, it looks like a wet year, and I can't wait. I'm so happy.
We should be. We should give thanks, and it's a part of the normal sequence.
It is normal, folks. Don't freak out. The world's not ending, you little chicken littles out there. Well, TGIF. And I hope you have a great weekend. Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. We'll see you back in two days. Have a great weekend. Ciao. Thank you.